Welcome to Online Church. I'm Brian Davis, and I'm the lead pastor here at Fairlawn Church of the Nazarene. And I'm so glad that you're joining us, whether it's at 10:30 a.m., our regular worship time on Sunday morning, or if you are, you know, watching this at some other time. I hope you'll gather your family together, and I hope you'll just, I hope you'll experience this. If somebody else is in the house, experience it with others and not alone. As you know, with the coronavirus that's sort of sweeping the United States, we're not able to gather in our church building. But that doesn't mean that we're not the church, and that doesn't mean that we can't gather. Through technology like this, we're still able to come together. We're able to worship together. We're able to sing songs. We're able to pray. We're able to read scripture. We're able to hear God's word together. And so that's what we're going to do today for just a little while. And so again, I thank you for joining us. I thank you for being a part of it. And I want to encourage you right now at the very beginning to go to the Bible app, if you have it on your phone or your computer. And all of our notes, sermon notes, all the scriptures are there. Matter of fact, today it'll be very helpful to have the scriptures in front of you. Maybe you want to grab your Bible as well. But go to the Bible app, or if you don't have the Bible app, you can go to our Facebook page. And this morning there was a link posted to the Bible app for this event, and you can automatically go there without ever having to download the Bible app. Let me say a word of prayer before we start. Father, we thank you for this day that we gather together in homes all over the place today. Father, we gather as families, we gather alone. But Lord, today, however we gather, we come together as the Church of Jesus Christ, the family of God. I pray today that you would help us to worship you. May your name be honored and glorified. Help us to be encouraged this morning by what we hear, by what we sing, by what we pray. And God, I pray this morning, change our lives, change our hearts. Come and meet in our midst this morning. We love you and we give this time to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Working in this place, I worship you, I worship you. You are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. You are way maker, miracle. Promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. You are here, touching every heart. I worship you.
Hi guys, I'm Pastor Nicole, and welcome to Online Church. The scripture for today is out of Isaiah 43, 1 through 3. So if you want, follow along in the Bible app or follow along in your physical Bible. But now, O God, listen to the Lord who created you. Do not be afraid, for I have ransomed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you go through deep waters, I will be with you. When you go through rivers of difficulty, you will not be drowned. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior.
You unravel me with a melody. You surround me with the song of deliverance from my enemies till all my fears are gone. I'm no longer sick to be. I am a child of God. I'm no longer sick to be. I am a child of God. From my mother's womb, you have chosen.
even though we are at home right now, even though we don't have the opportunity to physically be with each other, one of the really great things is that we're still able to pray with each other. So why don't you bow your heads and pray with me? God, we are so thankful for today. We're thankful for the opportunity to be with one another in a way that we normally don't meet. God, I thank you for the people who have made this possible, the technology that have made this possible, people that have walked before us to be able to kind of pave the way so that today could happen. We thank you for this song. We thank you that we don't have to be afraid. We don't have to be a slave to fear. We don't have to be a slave to sin. God, because you are walking with us, even in these difficult days of all of this stuff swirling around us, God, all of the fear, all of the unknown, you are walking through us in the fire. You are walking through us in the rivers, in the deep water. And God, it is so apparent what is wrong right now, what is happening in our world that is ugly and sinful and hurtful. But God, this morning I would pray, my prayer is that you would be overwhelmingly present over the fear. God, that this morning, as we're with our children, as we're with our family, God, as we are with one another through this screen, that we would feel connected. God, that we would know that you are present, that you are working. And God, my hope this morning is that you would be more present now than ever. God, that we would be repeating this verse of Isaiah 43 over and over again instead of the fear. So God, this morning, take our hearts captive. Take our souls captive this morning, God. Take our fears captive because they have no power over us. And God, we thank you again. And I thank you for the opportunity for Brian to bring his word, to bring your word this morning. And we just pray this in your name. Amen.
Carriers of hope. That's what we need to be in these days. The video is right. I mean, if you look around, you open up a news app, you turn on the television, you're going to see all sorts of news that's changing, even as I'm speaking right now. We've got professional sports leagues that are delaying their seasons, concerts and events canceling as we speak. We've got schools and universities that have shut down for the semester. We've got travel bans appearing left and right, and we all know that the grocery stores and even Amazon is out of toilet paper. We've got whole cities, not just cities, but whole states, where people are being told to stay home and off the streets. It's like a bad science fiction movie. It's almost like you could say the world's coming to an end. And what are we going to do? Well, I think there's two extremes. Some choose to ignore it and act like it's okay. Media's blowing it up on the one hand. On the other hand, there are people who are stockpiling beans and rice and peanut butter and more toilet paper than you can possibly use in 5 years, and staying home for the next 3 months. I think a better question for us as followers of Christ, what are we going to do? How should we respond to all this? As disciples of Jesus, the filter that forms our decisions is very different from this world. Our filter is not the same as this world. In fact, the Bible tells us that we should not be conformed to the thinking of this world, but we should be transformed by the renewing of our minds so that we can test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. We are not of this world, Jesus told us. We're not like everyone else. And we especially are not like everyone else when it comes to crisis. We see these crises differently. We do not live in fear, and that's why the title of this message is Fear Not. As followers of Christ, we should not, we cannot live in fear. I want to talk to you today about three ways that we are not like this world, especially in moments of great crisis like this one. The first way that we are not like this world is we live by faith and not by fear. In fact, when Jesus was comforting his disciples about being separated from them in John 14, verse 1, he said, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and trust also in me." And I love how he puts it in the Passion Translation. Don't worry or surrender to your fear. It's so easy to be afraid. So easy to surrender to your fear. My daughter right now thinks that I'm obsessing too much about not being able to find toilet paper. I told her I wasn't. And so to prove it, she took screenshots from Facebook posts and text messages that I had sent the previous day. And in those screenshots, she circled each time I talked about toilet paper. There were like, I don't know, 5 or 6 instances. And she said in her text to our family, "I asked Dad last night why he was so worried about toilet paper, and he said he wasn't. So I present you some evidence of Dad being nervous about toilet paper." Thing is, she was right. I looked like I did appear to obsess a little bit. And like maybe I was even given over to some fear, like what if we never find toilet paper? Maybe your fear is not running out of toilet paper, but it's something else right now. Maybe it's about seeing your retirement shrink. Maybe it's about the economic impact of your family if you're being laid off from a job. Maybe your fear has something to do with food. What fear is overtaking you? Whatever form your fears are taking right now, don't surrender to them. Jesus went down later in that chapter in verse 27 to say, "I am leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid." I mean, if you've been living in fear, if you're anxious all the time, if you're afraid of what's going to happen, where the economy's going, where the world's going, you can have peace of mind and heart because God wants to give it to you. It's a gift that he would love for you to receive today. When the rest of the world lives in fear, followers of Jesus, we live with the gift of peace of mind and the peace of heart that God puts there. A peace that's not like anything else that this world offers. It's a peace that only comes from heaven. What's happening in our world, you know, didn't catch God off guard. It's not like he went, "Oh man, I didn't see this virus coming. I was so distracted by the presidential primaries, I missed this one." Or, you know, "I was so concerned about the economy of the world." God's not saying, "I don't know what to do." God is not panicked. He's not taken aback. He's not surprised. And God is not afraid this morning because God's got this and he's got you and we need to trust him. He said he would never leave us or forsake us. He's working in all things, everything, everywhere, every day. And I have to trust him. I have to walk by faith and not by sight. That's the difference between us and everyone else. Whatever you're going through, our God can turn it around and do something good in the midst of it. Whatever battle you're facing, our God is with us. And if God is with us, if God is for us, who can be against us? I love 2 Timothy 1:7. "For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline. We are not panicking. We have been given the gift of peace from heaven. We are not fearful. We live by faith. That's how followers of Jesus respond in times like these. How do we respond when the world feels like it's falling apart? It's not only that we live by faith, but we are sacrificial, not selfish. Have you seen some of the pictures of people who are hoarding? I want you to look at these real quick. Look at this. This guy, you think, that's where all the toilet paper went, right there, you know? Let's show the next one. Yeah, this guy, he's got 57 packets of rice, I think, and then the hamburger meat. The guy's got a whole cow in there. And then look at this. There's the milk from the cow and the eggs from the chicken. I mean, these are real pictures of people who've been hoarding the last week or so. Technically, we are all selfish. So when the pressure's on, we kick into survival mode. We focus on us, and we're just born. We want to have our own way. We've talked before about how you never have to teach a two-year-old to be selfish, right? By nature, our human fallen nature is very selfish. But as followers of Christ, our redeemed nature, because of who Christ is in us, is not selfish, but reflects his nature, the most sacrificial love in the history of the world. The one who gave his life for us dwells within us. So as followers of Christ, we're not selfish, but we're sacrificial in how we live. In fact, Paul told the believers in Philippi in chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, and this is in the Passion Translation, be free from pride-filled opinions, for they will only harm your cherished unity. Don't allow self-promotion to hide in your hearts, but in authentic humility, put others first and view others as more important than yourselves. Abandon every display of selfishness, like those pictures. Possess a greater concern for what matters to others instead of your own interest. When you look at the first century believers, the early church, as they were facing extraordinary persecution, when they would lose their homes, they would lose their families, they would often lose their lives for their very faith. Acts 2 tells us they had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Let me tell you what they weren't doing. They were not freaking out and rushing to the Jerusalem Walmart to hoard as many cans of beans and sanitizer and toilet paper as they could get their hands on. What we have to understand is that we are the body of Christ. And because of that, we put others ahead of ourselves. We have a fantastic opportunity to not be selfish, but instead be sacrificial, to show the love of God in tangible ways. The next few weeks or months, you're going to have more opportunities for generosity in the name of Jesus than you could have at any other time. You may have something someone else needs, and you recognize God's blessed me to be a blessing to someone else, not just materially, but spiritually. There are times you'll know people that are hurting and that are afraid, and you could not only just give them something material, but you could give them hope. You can give them companionship, encouragement, opportunities to speak faith into the lives of others who are so paralyzed by fear. You love people who feel like our world is coming apart. You put your arm around them and say, we can do this together. But you can't do that if you're selfish. You have to be sacrificial or you'll miss those opportunities. Church family, it's important that we not abandon our faith. We don't just have a once a week gather together church kind of faith. We have a daily faith where we daily seek the goodness of God, where we don't just live it here in this building. It's more important to live it out there. You know, the social distancing may shut the doors of our building, but you can't shut down our faith. You can't shut down the church. We don't just preach the gospel. We live the gospel. We are not selfish. We are not hoarders. We are sacrificial. With all my heart, I believe that God will use this time in the world when people are afraid. I pray they will see him in us as we live sacrificially as he did. And we will see more people turn to God and be born into the kingdom because we're not like this world. We are not afraid. We live by faith and not by fear. We're sacrificial and we're not selfish. We shine the light and we don't hide it. That's our third thing. Matthew chapter 5, Jesus said this, You are the light of the world. Like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden, no one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. Rather than be full of gloom and doom, our assignment is to be full of light, dispensers of hope, to shine in the dark. Matter of fact, we should shine so bright with God's presence that everyone will praise our Heavenly Father. You're a light. Let it shine. Don't hide it. Don't let fear obscure your light. There are so many people who feel incredibly unsettled, unsure, and anxious, and they're looking somewhere for hope in the darkness. Good news is, there you are. You're there to be a light. You're there to carry His presence. You're a bunch of radical, faith-filled hope dealers. You are light shiners. You are love givers. Listen to me, church. The virus may be contagious, but I'm praying for some Jesus followers that for us that are even that we're even more contagious with His love, even more contagious with His grace, with hope, with light. I'm believing that the hope that Jesus brings spreads faster than any virus all over the world. Whenever the world grows darker, the light of Jesus just shines brighter. What are we? We are light shiners, hope dealers, faith givers. That's what we are. We are the body of Christ, and we don't hide our light. We let it shine. We are not of this world. We do not grieve as those who have no hope. There are great reminders of things in the Bible of to not do. And I know we don't like to focus on that, but you ought to go to Bible Gateway online and find some, because there are some really powerful things there. Here are some occasions. For instance, Jesus said, we do not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. We do not store up treasures on earth, but instead we store up our treasures in heaven. Jesus teaches us that we should not worry about tomorrow, because each day has enough to worry about itself. Jesus says we should pray, not my will, but yours. Paul talks about how we should not set our mind on earthly things, like what you read on social media and what the latest news report is, but instead we set our minds on things above. Let us not grow weary, Paul wrote to the Galatians, in doing good, because we know that at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, we are not overcome by evil. We are the church of Jesus Christ, and we will overcome evil with good. We do not grieve like the rest of mankind who has no hope. We also do not give up meeting together, the scripture says, because the Lord is our helper. Even if it has to be online, we meet together. We are not ashamed of the gospel, because it's the power of the gospel that brings salvation to everyone who believes. And yet the greatest knot of all the New Testament, and really the whole Bible, is the command, do not be afraid. Fear not. Over 70 times in God's word, we are told, don't be afraid, fear not. Are we in a battle? Are times difficult? Are we having a hard time right now? The answer is yes. And what do? We live by faith, not by fear. We are sacrificial, not selfish. And we shine the light. We do not hide it. I want to read to you one of my favorite scriptures that's really been a friend to me in dark days in my life. It's from 2 Corinthians chapter 4. This is in the New Living Translation. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. Because of who He is, because of what He's done, because of His power, because of His grace, because of His presence that will never leave us and will never forsake us, I choose to fear not. What about you? May we be the first century, like the first century believers, that even amidst persecution and hardship and difficulty, they said, we're not going to stop talking about what we have seen, what we have heard, what we've experienced. We can't stop. We won't stop praising. We won't stop worshiping. We won't stop giving. We won't stop sharing. We won't stop shining because of what we've seen, because of what we've heard, because of what God has done in our lives. We will fear not. And I want you to know that whatever you're going through today, I hope that you can sense his love for you. He has not abandoned you, and he has not forsaken you. He is with you. You are never alone. And because our God never leaves us, and he never turns his back on us, and he's always working on good, we as the church, no matter what comes because of Christ, we can live differently than the rest of the world. We can live our lives without fear. Will you bow your head with me and us pray this morning? Father, I pray for those this morning who may be listening today and experiencing our time together, who are full of fear and worry and anxiety. Father, it seems as though it's gripped our country. When you have to stand in line in the morning to get into Sam's Club or to Target, or you have a difficulty finding milk or toilet paper or meat, it's just, you see the panic that's in our culture today, the fear that lives there. God, I pray that you would help us to be different. I pray for every person this morning who's experiencing fear. I pray this morning, God, that you would so fill us with hope today because of you, that it would push all the fear out of us today. All the anxiety that we feel, that you would fill us with faith today. That God, all of the despair, Lord, that you would come and fill us with courage today. To know, Father, that we are not by ourselves. I pray every person this morning would know that they are not alone. They are not by themselves. You are there with them. And you have not abandoned us. You have not left us. And Father, not only that, not only are you with us, but Father, you're going to see us through this. You're going to show us how to live through this. You're leaning on you and trusting in you, Father. You're going to show us how we can come out on the other side of this thing victorious. God, I pray for every person. I pray, help us to be people of faith and not fear. Help us, Lord, to show your love in these dark days. May our light shine ever brighter. Help us to live sacrificially, not selfishly. Help our light to shine, not to hide it, not under a bushel, but maybe even more so, to not let fear obscure that light in our lives and in our world. Somebody around us needs to see it. These can be great days for the church, because even though we may not be able to gather in the building, that's not what it's about. It's about us being the church of Jesus Christ out in our world. So I pray you would help us to be that. I pray that you would help us to go into all the world and shine the light. And God, I pray for that one today who may be listening today, and maybe they're driven by fear and anxiety today. Maybe that's why they clicked on the recording today. I pray, God, that if there is someone who doesn't know you as Savior of life, maybe they're not a Christ follower today, Lord, I pray right now that you would speak to their hearts, that your Spirit would speak inside of them and let them know that you love them just the way they are, that you accept them just the way they are, and that all they need today to lean on you and become your follower, all they need today to embrace you in their life, to know forgiveness like they've never known, to know love like they've never known. It's just to acknowledge today that they need you, that there's sin in our heart, and that God, we need for you to change us. We need for you to let what Jesus Christ did on the cross for us, for me. God, I embrace that. I embrace you as the Savior of my life, and I want to follow you all of my days. And by acknowledging those things to you, that today they can be born into the kingdom. That today, by saying, I want what Jesus did to count for me, I want to follow you. That, Lord, today they become part of the family of God. And that today they can know all these things that we've talked about this morning as very real in their heart and in their life. I pray, God, that you would make that so today. God, we love you. I pray that you're for your protection. I pray, God, for your help. I pray, God, for your presence to be everywhere this is seen this week and in the days that are ahead, that you might fill your people with your presence. For we pray these things in your name. Amen. Now, let me say a couple of things. If you prayed just then and you asked Christ into your heart for the first time and became a member of God's family today and ask that what Jesus did on the cross to count for your sins, I'd love to hear from you. You can call me, you can email me, all of those different ways that we have to communicate. I would like to celebrate with you and talk to you about what God's done in your life and how to move forward from here. Also, there may be some of you today that prayed and you're praying about needs. You've been having trouble with anxiety and fear and those things. And I hope today that God's done something real in your life. You need to lean into that, and you need to live that out in your life this week. But if you need some more help, if you need to talk to somebody, you need somebody to pray with you, please contact us. Let us know. That's why we're here as a staff. That's why our church family is here, to lift each other up and pray for one another. And so if you need to talk to somebody, please do that. Over the course of these next few weeks, too, if you need anything, we're going to be trying to stay in contact with everyone. But if you need something, please let us know here at the office, and we'll see what we can do to help you out or find some help for you somewhere. I do want to remind you that part of our worship is our giving. And so we have online giving, which is a great thing in these days as well. And you can go to our website, fairlawnnaz.org/give, and you can give online. All of our online giving is safe and secure. There's a page there to walk you through the steps and tell you what you need to do and how you can do that. Well, before we go, would you allow me for just a moment to give you a blessing today? We're planning on being here next week, and so I hope you'll join us next week. I hope you'll share this on social media with others. I hope you'll tell other people where they can go and find it. It'll be on the website as well as on our Vimeo channel. There'll be a link to it from our website, and also on Facebook as well. Let me just give you a blessing this morning. May God's peace in these troubled days surround you, fill you, and overwhelm you. May you walk by faith this week, and not by sight. May you live sacrificially, and may your light so shine that others around you will come to glorify and praise God. God bless you. Have a great week.